It's the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 of the Fan. This is a very sleepy but happy crew. Let's see if we can hold this up for 4 hours. Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, and I don't even know where you are today.
I'm the happiest person in the world, yeah. Other than the Canadian women's hockey team. I feel a close second today. Just, I don't even know the emotions. It's hard to even speak, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to try to do it.
You're going to do it. You're probably going to cry. So that's cool. You should let that know that it's all right. I've done it on radio before too. I think I cried after the soccer goal because it was in the moment I was on air as it happened. But so it's okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh yeah, it was hard. You're like, because well, they're coming on and telling you everything that they mean to you. And it's like I might even cry off of you crying. So we'll see. We'll see how this sucker goes. I might cry during Matt Sundin. Of course, today we have Matt Sundin at 7 o'clock in the morning when my brain is broken. It's like my number one childhood hero. I'm like, this will be cool. We'll be all right. I'm on 2 hours of sleep. I'm sure I won't botch this and regret it for the rest of my life. Did I ever tell you guys that I called Cujo in an elevator once when I first met him? Like,
no.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Cujo. I was like, no.
What did he say?
Nothing. He just probably was so embarrassed for me that he just also wanted to get out of the elevator with the psycho who just called him Cujo. That's supposed to be a professional and let him into the building. My God, it was so, so bad. But yes, Canada wins gold. And they win it in style. They win it by calling their own shot. They bang out the double win. They win the round robin, and they win this one. They're the best in the world. They're the best team went in and was the best. And you're on FaceTimes this morning. You're throwing out pictures of little baby Ailish all over the place, little thumbs up Ailish all over the place. Where do you want to start?
Okay. Just like the emotions of it. How about that? You know,
yeah.
I think I saw so many people last night were up watching. That was an amazing experience. You know, I know that we were all going to tune in and watch because it's our job, but like everybody was watching on your social, on your Twitter. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It really felt that the second that the game started, it was going to be special. Maybe I was just hoping it would be, but it just was such an incredible community. It felt like online, everybody feeling the strength of Canada. God, after the game, I was up for hours just like watching the medal video, watching them celebrate. It's just, it's hard to put into words what that probably feels like for them to, I start crying when they won, they're jumping on their goalie. Like there's nothing in sports like that. And then they collect themselves and then they have to wait. Oh, the best is watching the other teams get their medals first day. That is the best. Oh, sorry, America. Here you go. Finland, cute, eh? Yeah, good for Finland. Yeah, we love Finland. Yeah, big Finnish girl here. But yeah, when Canada...
Twice.
Felt a little bit of pride there.
But then Hillary Knight, silver looks great on you.
You look really pretty in the silver.
Yeah, what a great color for you.
When they get their medals and it's going through the line and everyone's putting the medal on the person beside them, that got me big. That got me real big. Whew, starting to get emotional thinking about it. Like you turn to the player beside you and you put the medal on them. And I know that's actually a COVID thing, but I like keep it that way. I think it's way better than some stranger from the IOC handing you a gold medal.
I thought Cheryl Pounder did an incredible job doing a roll call for every person.
Mm-hmm. She had something for everybody.
Just every person on the team. But this is why we do stay up is because that team, every Olympics, becomes tied in with the fabric of the games for us.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, there's something about, because even when it's not the NHL players at the Olympics, but we have also grown accustomed to it being NHLers, like, it's been both. It's harder to relate to the NHL players, right? And I know that they're playing for their country, and so you are... There is something almost NCAA-ish about it, right? Where you go, hey, this is for the love of the game. This isn't for the salary. This is people going out and doing it. But there's something different about watching the women's team that I think is just far more relatable to other Canadians, where, hey, this is what it's all for. You know, like everything is leveraged into this game. There's no Stanley Cup to go back to. There's no you're going to your professionalized league. You're going to centralization. So you see that emotion. And yeah, it's just it's hard not to have that hit you right in the chest. Like the weight of it, seeing that 4 years of work culminates into this one moment and the relief, like I said to my friend last night, I don't know how I would have dealt with an entire third period where they were protecting a one goal lead, because I could barely handle when they put that extra second on the clock. You know, when they went from 12.5 to 13.5 at the end of the game, I was just like head in my hands, like it's just all the worst case scenarios run through your head. But yeah, it's just it's the relatableness, I think, that and the understanding of the weight of the moment and the likability of the group and sorry but the hateability of the Americans that all combines for this stew of sports perfection that is, yeah, it's truly unlike anything else in this country. Like, there's nothing quite like it.
I think it gets to, as well, like, part of it is like, yeah, obviously with the NHL players, we'd rather have the NHL players there on the men's side, and it makes for better hockey. Mm-hmm. And obviously that still means a lot to those guys, but I feel like the women's team and what you just laid out, JD and Ailish, what you've laid out for us for weeks now is it gets more to the heart of what the Olympics is for, like, non-men's hockey sports where, basketball is another exception and stuff. But, yeah, that level of sacrifice, that level of this isn't your Stanley Cup. It's your once every 4 years thing. And
it's
that level.
That's it. You can only
the level of sacrifice over that whole cycle. And Ailish, you've provided us some of the details on the centralization stuff and like that alone, but also like that. Yeah, this is it. This is the peak. This is the pinnacle. And I don't know. We set it up all week, just how huge this game was. And then the puck drops and it felt even bigger. Somehow, like, we're all anxious. Yesterday, we spent the whole show being like, I'm anxious. It's going to be a nervous day. And then the puck drops, and it's like, oh, no. It's going to be a nervous, nervous couple hours. Are you looking at your nails to see if you chewed them?
Yeah. No, they're disgusting. Like, I was going to show you guys, like, if you could see it through the Zoom. But it's actually, like, I couldn't go outside. I'd have to wear
gloves.
I have
a Band-Aid on one of my thumbs because I was biting and peeling my cuticles so much yesterday. Yeah. Because literally was bleeding.
I know. It was disgusting. That's gross. And I was doing it early. I was just like immediately into the game. I was just destroying them. You know, I don't even care about being a good sport today because obviously, yes, America, you got a great team and blah, 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 blah. And those women work extremely hard too and all those other things, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Ailish, watching that moment where they're getting their silver medals and how sweet it is, but it's because our women can't stand them too. And I miss sports hate. You know, I talk about this with you guys all the time. Everybody's just the best of friends. You would never see Sidney Crosby say before a gold medal game, we want to embarrass them about Austin Matthews, right? You would never see that in any game, ever, the way that Natalie Spooner goes out. I was sick to my stomach when I read that because I was terrified that was going to be like American locker room clippings and that it was going to be their rally cry. You know, I thought that Hillary Knight could end up being doing the Haley Wickenheiser at the end of the game. Like, hey, Natalie Spooner, you think that we're embarrassed to be on the ice with you? I was like, no, please, God, don't let this be the case. But to have that sports hate between those two teams, you got it?
This was the quote. So yeah. Every time we go against them, we want to make a statement and show them that they don't belong on the ice with us.
Yeah. Do you know how awesome that is? This is why, God, sports, dear sports, professional sports, just try a little to borrow from this. Like, why do you think we're all so leveraged? Why do you think we're chewing our fingernails? Because they care so much about it that it becomes infectious with the rest of us, right? When you make those the stakes, we're into the, Blake, the kayfabe. You know, we're in. We're into the story.
It's not even kayfabe. It's shoot.
I know, it's real. It's real fabe.
It's real. Oh. I mean, like, yeah, the bigger kayfabe is the NBA side where, like, they all get along and everyone's BFFs and like, oh, there won't actually be animosity between Simmons and Embiid in a playoff series. It's like, yeah, right. Like, let's peel the veneer off. Let's be real about this, because if you're not as emotional as those Canadian and U.S. women were last night, what are you doing here?
The best thing I like about that quote was because that's how we have felt and we do feel all the time. But I think there's a lot in the media that like, oh, these guys respect each other so much. And there's like this love and this beautiful rivalry. And like, sure, that's there. We are also teammates most of the time when we're not playing for our respective countries. But that doesn't matter. Like the second you put on the Canadian crest or the United States, whatever emblem that they had, it does not matter if you played on the same college team, you play on the same professional team, if you grew up playing in the same circles, you absolutely despise each other. And we see that with the chippiness here and there. But for her to come out and say that, like, that doesn't get out in the media much. You know, everyone's very media trained and polite. Like, I feel like Poulin would be very like, oh, yes, we respect the American players. They are very nice people. We train together all the time. Sure. Like, and I feel that way too. I went to school in the States and most of my teammates were American and I respect them as athletes. But the second that we got out there and there was that rivalry between us, it's a bloodbath. And I love that she said that. I love that she had the guts to put it out there, because it could definitely have backfired, right? We said that, like, if they had got smoked by the United States, that would be like the rally cry. Like, oh, you said we don't belong on the ice with you. Good for her. Like, Spooner has that grit. She's got that swagger, and she totally stood up for it, and they put out a performance that quote is just going to be like, yep, we told you so.
Okay, so I know this is going to be the ultimate you can say it's confirmation bias or whatever. I saw her give that quote, and then Ailish, you know, you sent me the video of them warming up with their dance routine.
Yeah.
The way Natalie Spooner was snapping around in that dance routine, I knew that she wanted it bad, that she was just fired up, and it was no surprise to me that she was an absolute stud in that game and never had, like, I'm so choked about that stupid offside rule and how that ends up so against the spirit of the game, like everything. Matt Duchene, passport revoked. You can't cheer for that, Matt Duchene. You don't get to cheer for the game, all right? You ruined that moment. A puck don't lie immediately after. But I would say that one of the most impressive things about that game was just how the veteran players just stepped up. The veteran players all dominated. Desbiens dominated. Poulin dominated. Jenner dominated. Sarah Nurse was like, oh, welcome to me becoming the best player on this team. Like, welcome to everyone. This is now my team moving forward to the next Olympics. Natalie Spooner, dominant, shift after shift after shift, where she's just like hard on pucks and driving the net and completely engaged. I was so incredibly proud of every member of that team, the way that they played, a gutsy effort, a dominant effort for a large part of the game. But the veterans to me were unquestionably the story of the game.
And we talked about this yesterday when we were trying to think about who's the pressure on and who do we expect to have a big game tonight. And I believe that we said that, you know, the pressure's kind of on Canada to live up to the hype that they've put up throughout this tournament. And I felt very confident that if they do shorten the bench, the veterans will provide that backbone. And that's exactly what happened, knowing this team and knowing the opportunities that they've already had to get to this stage. It was no doubt that was going to happen. Poulin, like, there is no player or athlete in the world like Marie-Philippe Poulin. And I felt this way for a long time as a friend to me, you know, obviously BFFs with Marie-Philippe Poulin. I just think that last night, she was already solidified. But to again get two goals in a gold medal game, another golden goal, because it's the game winner. It's just, there is nothing like this. We will probably never see something like this again. I don't know how much people are sinking into how incredible that is, that feat that she has accomplished to be this player for Canada for 4 years, four Olympic years. Yep. It's like, that's a long time. And she looks like she's not slowing down. She looks like she gets better every time she gets on the ice. Ugh, like, I watched that in awe. There's nobody I grew up idolizing, you know, Cassie Campbell and Haley Wickenheiser. I am envious of the girls that are growing up idolizing Marie-Philippe Poulin and watching her and dreaming to be like her. Like, she is just the most incredible athlete that I probably will ever get a chance to watch in her prime live. It's the most incredible story of the Olympics, and it probably will be for the rest of my life. I don't know what's going to top that.
I want to see her do things under duress, like a show where she parks a
minute to win it
truck in, like, she parallel parks a semi truck during rush hour in Toronto down
on a cliff,
you know, like, yeah, like I want to see her do high stress situations. That's a show, by the way. That's a free show idea for anybody that's out there, because there's just a calm to her game and an ability to be in the right place at the right time and to show up in these big moments. And this is not to undermine it at all. It's a special situation where you can get to four gold medal games, but to score in all of them and to have multiple game winners and to just be around the puck and to find those ways, like, yeah, you're right. We're never going to see that again. We're not going to see that ever again. There's never going to be somebody with multiple golden goals who...
Three
golden goals, four gold medal games with a goal, and just knowing
seven goals just, over the four gold medal games too.
Like, I didn't get seven goals in my entire life.
Yeah, like, what was the stat? Like, since she made her debut in the Olympics, she scored seven of Canada's 10 goals in Olympic gold medal games.
Yeah, I think that the only person that you can, there's a couple, like, I go back to the NHL is really, really hard to compare it to, right? Because it's just, it's impossibly difficult. The Stanley Cup is a different animal to get to. But if you look at Gretzky's Stanley Cup final stats, they're absolutely absurd. There's a reason why he's the great one. You go and you look at what he did in the playoffs. Like, he had 53 points in 31 games in Stanley Cup finals. That's just obscene. Jean Beliveau has the most points in a Stanley Cup Finals. He has 62 in 64 games, though, so less than a point a game, but just so many times he's there, right? But you go through historically, and just Gretzky pops out from his era versus when there was only the original six, and then basically everybody else on the scoring list in terms of most quote-unquote clutch players in hockey are, yeah, guys who were on the same team as Gretzky. That's what you got to do. In fact, like, you got to go down the line forever and ever and ever. And then you even get to guys like Sid, who are 20 points in 25 games. It's you can't really find a comparable, but that's it. Is the only person that you can compare Marie-Philippe Poulin to in big games is Wayne Gretzky. That's it. Period. End of list.
Here's a quote, a stat. Goals in gold medal games since 2010 at the Olympics. Marie-Philippe Poulin, 7. Team USA, 5.
Yeah. Oh, that is... That's, I'll get that tattoo.
I will go today and get that tattooed, yeah, that's, on my heart.
That's a tattoo. Oh my God. Why is not everybody on the team getting that tattoo? Imagine everybody on the team having that tattoo and pointing to it for the next world championship.
Oh my God. So this is amazing. They're in Beijing. They have 3 days before they, like, head home. And so as much as
immediately.
No, I mean, well, they want to stay and watch some of the Olympics, which is cool. I guess I don't know how it works. Probably nice to have somebody there at the closing ceremonies. Maybe somebody to be the flag bearer.
Yeah, it looks awful.
Has there ever been a flag bearer that is the opening ceremony flag bearer and also the closing ceremony flag bearer? Maybe we could see that. Hint, hint. I don't know anything, but that would be pretty cool. But anyway, they're there for a few days. So
when the Olympics are done in 3 days? I have no clue.
Yeah. Sunday is the last day of competition.
So today
Saturday night, really.
So little attention to the Olympics. I don't know about you guys. I've been barely in. I've just paid attention to women's hockey, men's hockey, and curling. That's it. Everything else has completely fallen off the earth for me. That the finals being there, I went, isn't this pretty early to have the women's finals? And I went, today it's the men's curling semifinal. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, okay. Isn't it a little early to be having the semifinals? I don't
it's
know.
It's like almost seems... over.
Yeah. I have no actual calibration of where we are. By the way, I should just say this. The thing we're looking forward to today is celebrating this gold. And so it's time for Road to the Podium, brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. Oh, just pro all the way, Marie-Philippe Poulin. So, yeah, just kind of going through that game. We talked a little bit about the vets. We talked a little bit about Poulin. I feel like we got to talk a little bit about Debier, who just, again, yeah, was just such a solid, solidifying presence.
And on the other end of the ice, not as much. No. You know, I don't think that Cavallini played her best. I also was surprised that she, as I said yesterday, how the U.S. went about this goaltending decision. She wasn't the person that we had predicted coming in would get the gold medal game. That can go two ways. You could be, you know, hell yeah, I got this spot. I earned this spot throughout the round robin and I deserve to be in net. I'm going to have the biggest performance of my life. She did not do that. I think she's going to want a couple of those goals back. But Desbien, man, she was another brick wall. You know, she just stood tall. She was reliable, even, and they were getting in front of her and giving her some shots. There was some contact there and she was just like a stud. And the pressure, if anything, was on her, and I did not see her waver whatsoever.
Yeah, Cavallini too, finding out after that she's been playing on a torn ACL this whole time is you got to question the decision to
put her
in there in the first place. Well, no, apparently she tore it in the second week of January was the reporting last night. And she didn't practice until 3 days before the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm not saying that to make excuses for them, but just like the decision to roll with her in that spot is,
sounds like something the Americans might want to leak as an excuse, like the whole field thing versus the Canadians when they played here in soccer. Classic America.
So America to say, oh, you won your gold, our goalie had a torn ACL.
Well, then put a different goalie in. That's your fault. That's even more embarrassing for them, eh?
One goalie? Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying. It's an odd choice.
Especially with the fact that they played all three. Like, it's different if Desbien was literally the only player that Canada had, like, strong enough for goaltending, and she had a torn ACL and they wrote it out. The States had two other pretty good goaltenders they could have rolled. So I think that's actually hysterical. Like, classic.
Also, Ailish, just to answer your earlier question, I couldn't tell if you were hinting at me to look it up or just hinting at them to give it to Poulin. Robert Paul, 1960 figure skating, is the only Canadian to do opening and closing ceremonies flag bearer.
So I...
Let's change that.
I love how... This is why... Part of the reason why we love to hate the Americans... And this doesn't just extend to this game or that team. Is there's this feeling, and you think about Canada's soccer team, the men, beating America this year. You think about the women's soccer team beating America this year. There's this feeling, even in hockey, of America just, if you beat us, it's a fluke. You know, if you beat us, it's lucky. If you beat us, it's because there's an excuse. It's never tip the cap. And that's part of the reason why I called them front runner babies when we had on Dwayne DiRosario for the men's soccer team, is there's something prevalent with their programs where they're taught like that almost manifest destiny applies to sports, where we're supposed to be the number one, we're the superpower, we're the team, we've got the hundreds of millions of people, Canada's down there with 38 million, you're not supposed to win, you're not supposed to do this. Like, imagine being a country of 328 million beating a country of 38 million in hockey by, you know, without the pros and doing the miracle on ice thing. Like, that's what they have to do. Like, it's when they win, it's a miracle on ice in hockey. And when we lose, that's the way it's always framed. Like, we're the big baddies. And then when we win, they're like, oh, we should have won, but we have all the excuses. Like, I hate American hockey. I'm so glad we beat the brakes off them twice, two times this tournament.
This is what happens when your entire national sporting identity is based around teams like the Yankees and Lakers, where the exceptionalism in those fan bases just assumes the title should be given to them. That bleeds into at least what we get on the media side and like the public side with the national program sometimes.
So I want to, Ailish, get your thoughts on, again, Sarah Nurse, because I thought you had one of the tweets of the night. The nurse breaks the doctor's record. That was very good. I wondered if you had it in the drafts, if you were ready to roll with that before, if that was an in the moment. But
in the moment.
Either way, yeah, you emptied the drafts yesterday. You were
some fire tweets. Yeah, if you haven't scrolled over to @AlishWarfar on Twitter, folks, yeah. It was also my gold medal game last night.
Yeah, it was.
Putting out all the good tweets, all right? So
you were locked in. Mm-hmm. But she broke Haley Wickenheiser's tournament for most points, and Marie-Philippe Poulin tied it, but we did just talk about her. I wonder what your thoughts were about Nurse yesterday, because I just thought she was flying. She wore the superhero cape.
Mm-hmm. She flying is exactly the way I would explain her. She came out with such a level of confidence this time around. Like at the last Olympics, she was a rookie, and there was two other forward rookies, Clark and Stacy. And I think that they didn't have the biggest impact. I also feel like they didn't get the biggest opportunity. They were a lot tighter on the bench last time in Pyeongchang. I was a little bit disappointed because I played against Nurse growing up. I know her, and I know that she has the talent to be the star that we saw this year. And with the changing of the guard, the new coaching regimen that came into Canada over the last 4 years, she's been given that opportunity to prove that she's the player that she is. And that has made all the difference. You know, obviously she's gotten better, but there's not been a drastic shift that's been like, hey, you need to focus on this if you want to make this Olympic team. She's the same Sarah Nurse that I grew up playing against, but she's just been given this opportunity to actually put that into practice. She looks confident. She looks fast. She's feisty. She has such good finesse. She's an incredible playmaker. Like everything that you need from someone who's still young in the program, her second Olympics, she can probably do two more at least. Like you just start thinking like this is now the face of Canada. And I think there was that passing of the torch a bit with her this tournament. You know, it was Sarah Filliet at the beginning with that conversation, but she's still got, you know, her whole life ahead of her. This girl's still in college. Like Sarah Filliet is going to go back to Princeton after this and be like, hey guys, like I'm back to stats class. Like Nurse is going to be who they shape this team around, I think, down the line. And to see her at that stage, to get that opportunity, it makes all the difference for them to believe in her that, hey, you know what? You're not just a fresh face anymore. We need you to carry this team. It paid off. And yeah, so proud. God, here we go. Getting emotional.
I think the way you frame that from a like program building and player development perspective is really important too, where they didn't ask Sarah Nurse to be a different player, a different person. They mm-hmm. asked her to be the best possible version of Sarah Nurse. And look, obviously there are going to be spots in a tournament where, especially when your roster's this loaded, that you got to ask someone who's a first or second line talent to play a fourth line role. Like that's how these mm-hmm. tournaments work. But I do think when it comes to your top players and even just that, you know, someone you want to have upward mobility in the lineup like that, the empowerment of we don't want you to be anything but the best possible version of you is a really helpful cultural pillar to have as more young women come up through the program.
It's so interesting that you bring that up is because another teammate of mine who made her Olympic debut, Jamie Lee Rattray, this has been the most interesting storyline, one of them at least for me. So she was Canada's 13th forward. She doesn't have a line. She hasn't been playing in a consistent spot. She has been used. She was being used more than the fourth line. She was just floating around the lineup. And that's what the coaching staff knew she'd be best at. They didn't tie her down to being a fourth line checker or a third line energy person or second line finesse player or top line, you know, goal scorer. She was the 13th forward and she got put on the ice when they needed her energy and her skill and her power. And I thought, wow, that is such a novel idea. Have I ever seen another team put someone that good as their 13th forward with the idea that she's like a bounce around player? And it worked. She had an incredible tournament. That is such a weird coaching tactic that I've never played. I've never had someone be the 13th forward that actually plays like every other shift with someone else. And she's just that good of a player. And I think that's a testament to Canada's coaching and their player development, knowing that you need her on the team. Maybe she is not always going to be alongside Spooner or Nurse, but she'll play right when you need her, wherever you need her. And like, she should be an unsung hero for Canada when you're looking at who to award, you know, the flowers to after this Olympic gold. Think about Jamie Lee Rattray, who was the 13th forward the entire tournament and still did what she did.
What a coach's dream that must be to have a player in role that you can trust in that many different situations and not worry about the ego element or the, hey, are they in the flow element? Like, that's what a luxury that must be for that coaching staff.
Yeah. Wonderful human. I think there's no doubt in my mind that she would be the only person I really think that could handle that type of, you know, pressure as well, to be like, you're sitting here until it's time for you to go in and you got to make an impact. Like, if you're the 13th forward, you already feel like, oh God, if something were to happen, I might be out of the lineup. When Dao was hurt, she obviously got more opportunities, but then she just continued when Dao came back and was just as powerful. So a very interesting thing. I think the coaches from this cycle compared to last cycle did a lot of really great things with how they constructed the roster, a lot of youth, a lot of speed. And I think that's why they lost last time around. They were old and slow. No offense.
Yeah. No, it reminds me of the other Team Canada that played yesterday where you went, why didn't you find a better
There wasn't
way
one of those.
To, yeah, why didn't you find a better way to blend some more youth with this roster? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't be more excited with the way that they won. There's these discussions about if they're the greatest Team Canada ever. I don't know, because it's so hard to, for me anyways, to compare and say, well, the other gold medal winning teams, you won a gold medal. I have a really tough time ranking the gold medal level and wins or whatever, but this one felt the most, I was just shocked at how, for the vast majority of this game, they were just cruising, and the confidence in which I felt like, hey, they have the most clutch player on earth, they have the better goaltender, they have the depth, they just have so many forwards on this team. It just felt like once they got the puck up to any one of those groups of forwards that they were all going to be able to make plays. They were so hard on pucks, like the gutsiness of the penalty kills throughout that game, where America couldn't even get a sniff, not even just a moment of oxygen where
they're icing the puck multiple times on a power play. Like, come on.
Yeah, and for America to even be in that game, it took that really fortunate break on the PK where they score shorthanded to make it a game anyways, and then Canada goes into a shell and it's a completely different third. But yeah,
I will say we did get lucky with a couple posts. It reminded me of our conversation yesterday with the post,
the opening shot where I think America has the whole page, misses it to the side,
hits the post. That was it. Yeah. That could have been a huge momentum shifter. Canada stays with it. Desbien stays strong. The goal called back because of offside. That for me, I sat there. I said, okay, this can be something that really shifts the momentum Canada was rolling, and it didn't even affect them. No. They went right out and like, okay, we'll just score another goal. And I think that's the resolve. That's the team identity that these girls have. They talk so highly about their team. Their team is the team that they want to play for. They love each other. They've just bought into this mentality that they're going to do this. And that's exactly what we saw when you have a couple things not go your way. You know, like, oh, feeling a little bit anxious, something can happen. The USA could have scored on one of those post shots. Completely different game, but Canada stayed strong. But
this is why, with Marie-Philippe Poulin, this is why it should be so respected what she has done, because these games are so much pressure that scoring on a wide-open cage isn't scoring on a wide-open cage. You can grip the stick too tight, you can put it wide, and it can become a lifetime of, oh my God, what I could have or should have or blah, 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 blah. And Marie-Philippe Poulin has never left anything on the table, right?
Like, has she ever, missed? I'm trying to think. Has there been an opportunity where she's like, oops, I actually didn't score there? Like, I don't
even
know.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
And if there is one, she just followed it up with another goal immediately after.
Yeah. That's such a big part of it, is those moments are huge. They can swallow you up. And they have swallowed up great players. And she just has this ability to completely rise above it. Anyway, the program feels like it's incredible hands. It felt like, to me, the veterans almost buffered in the younger players that were there, saying, hey, we took this and we gave you now something to strive and achieve to. All this talent that's coming up, like, you're all behind even more talent. I got the feeling still, too, of why are we certain that Philippe Poulin isn't there next time around, Spooner isn't there next time around. I started doing the thing of, why are we so, you can't play until then, or you're sure that they're going to be out then? I don't know. It's personal
decisions.
I don't
feel sure at all.
No, I know. That's what I mean. It doesn't feel sure to me. But yeah, just the
But what depth. A way to go out if it is.
Oh, God. That's the actual part of it, is can you ever make it sweeter than that? Can you ever make it sweeter than winning twice and getting the gold and, yeah, getting to just absolutely dominate in that way? I don't know. It feels like a really great way to go out on top.
three golden goals and scoring in four different gold medal games isn't cool. You know what's cool? Four golden goals, scoring five gold medal games.
So, Ailish, before we go to break, I do want you to kind of take us. You woke up this morning to FaceTime calls. You got to go into the dressing room. I think that it would be nice if you brought all of us into the dressing room, please. Thank you.
Who, me? You want me to?
Well, it was the dressing room there in the hotel, I guess. But yeah, the post-game celebration. Of course I want you to.
The girls are having some adult beverages in their Canada House is what they call it at the Olympics. And it's all decked out and it's really awesome. They've got like the maps of Canada. You know, I love maps, right? So huge fan of the maps.
Comment on that.
I said, actually, I don't want to see the medal. Zoom in on that map. I'd like to see. But yeah, they do a really great job at making it like the Canada House. They're all decked out in their matching gear. And the first thing that they showed me were the Canadian beers that they were drinking that they got imported there. They're like, look, Ailish, like, oh my God. And it's like, I have sleep in my eyes or like half awake. I don't know. I'm still, honestly, you can't see me obviously around the radio. I'm still wearing my Team Canada jersey and my Dartmouth hockey hat. I slept in it. Like, I don't even know if I slept. Like, I was just laying there, like, scrolling. But the girls, they can't be like that. I just, when you see the faces on it, that's what made me the most emotional is just to talk to them for 10 seconds and to just, they couldn't even speak. Like, they're just like, I can't effing believe it. I can't believe it. Like, this is real. This happened. And all I could say was like, I'm so proud of you. Like, believe it. Like, you guys did it. We're so proud of you. Can't wait for you to come home. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of content coming out from those ladies today. Stay tuned. I posted some of the photos on Twitter or my Instagram store if you want to see some of the FaceTimes. But yeah, just like an endless amount of pride that I feel today and just respect for what they had to do for the last 4 years and their lives. Okay, I know that we're on the road to the podium brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. If you want to get more Canada in you today, you just can't handle it. You need more. Men's curling semifinal. Canada versus Sweden on right now in 20 minutes, 7 a.m. Canada must win. The Canadian women's curling team, not doing so great. And then tonight, Canada has an opportunity for a medal at freestyle skiing, women's half pipe final. Three Canadians in the final. So that's actually really great odds. that's at 8:30 p.m. So those are the big days left for Canada, obviously. I'll be just rewatching this game on repeat. If you want to sprinkle in some new stuff, that's what you got for today.
Yeah, today for me is about kind of soaking this in. Again, we have Cheryl Pounder later in the show. We have Jen Botterill later in the show. We have Matt Sundin on this show. We have Nick Kyprios on the show. So pace yourself.
It's a star-studded day.
Yeah, it's a pretty jam-packed show. So if you're listening to just the first hour of this and you can't listen to the whole thing, podcast, subscribe to the podcast, follow Ailish Forfar, look at all of her pictures on Instagram and Twitter that she's posting, a couple of days for you. Yeah, I love the joy. I love the happiness. I love the relief. And I wonder if just a big part of it, Ailish, is that we talked about the pressure yesterday of making sure you capitalize when you have something special. And the whole time we heard about how special this group is. And I wonder how much of that is, I know that a lot of it's personal for you just in terms of knowing what exactly it takes, like exactly what it takes to be on that team because you've played with players on that team, you know them, but just the feeling of not letting an opportunity pass you by and not having any regret and capitalizing on a team that special.
I feel like that's the weight that's relieved from your shoulders and there's definitely times in their lifetime over the last 4 years, especially that you start to think, what am I doing this for? You know, this is my entire life riding on making this team. And some of these players have been cut and have come back to the well and done it all over again. There's no one else that has to do what the women's hockey team does. They go and they live somewhere else and they centralize and they can't have careers. They can't have families. Like, they have to put everything on hold and they play and they train. And that is their life to make this team and to get to the biggest stage and to capture your dream. I that was my dream growing up and I never got there. Right. Like, I didn't have what it took to make the team. And I think, like, how many people have gotten to this stage and achieved their dream, it is so rare and so special. And that's what makes it even more so for the Canadian women's team, is because that's all you got. You're not going home to win a Stanley Cup. Like, this is your Stanley Cup. So I don't think there's a way to put it into perspective as much if you're not a Canadian women's hockey player, because you just respect the years and years and years of effort and the grind that these girls put in while trying to build a sustainable league at home, while trying to do, some of them are doing, you know, master's degrees online while they're centralized because they want to have careers after this. They're not going to make money after the games are done. Like, what do? You go home and you're like, I guess I got to go get a job, right? Some of them are going to be fortunate to get enough sponsors from this. Like, every time I turn on the TV, I see our nurse on TV. She's going to be set.
You're going to see more of that too.
Of course. But there's a lot of them that are like, okay, now I'm going to need to find a way to make a career out of my life. So just there's so many layers of it that goes into it. New mothers. A lot of people have to time when they want to have children on the Olympic cycles. Like, okay, now we got a gold medal. Like, let's quickly get a baby out here so then I can get back into the grind. I can get back into shape and I can start training for the next Olympics. And it's just a whole world that they have to do. So the respect is endless. I'm just so proud. And a lot of these players, I know this extra special things they've had to overcome to get here. So I can't say enough, you know. I could just talk all 4 hours about that, but we won't do that.
No,
but we will.
I mean, we're mostly going to do that.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Sundy in a little bit too, and you know, a couple other things. But stay tuned. We've got lots of women's hockey talk today. It's Super Bowl for us.
Lots of women's hockey talk. Best team on the planet. Most likable team on the planet. No silver medals. Only gold. Only popping bottles. Popping bottles of Canada hockey, baby. Let's go. Tons of it today. Tons more thoughts from Ailish. Will we get Ailish to cry? So far, no. Good job by you not having the tears. You didn't do it.
I don't know if there's any left at this point.
Yeah, you did cry a lot. There was a lot of weepy-eyed posts from you.
Yeah, I have no shame in that either.
A lot of Ailish with the Dartmouth cap pulled down, crying.
Yeah, hiding my eyes a bit.
Hiding your puffy eyes with a thumbs up. You know, you're a big thumbs up person in photos.
That's all you can do sometimes, is just put your thumb up.
Thumbs up, thumbs up,
like, this is great.
Yeah, cry, cry, cry. Yeah, very emotional win for Team Canada. Congrats. We are just so incredibly proud of that team. And yeah, proud to be Canadian. Let's take a break. And let's come back. And Ailish, listen, you were too focused on your own thing yesterday. There's no A-list. It's the JB list. That's next. You can call it the BJ list if you want, but it's tough. Yeah, it's called the JB list. It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Baby Friday. It's the gold medal hangover. You couldn't ask for a better February 17th in your life. And since I was a little busy last night, living my life, JD has decided to take over the A-list today. So just get ready for endless negativity. I'm just kidding.
No, it's the JB list. It's the JB. It's JD and Blake.
I know.
We each get one today.
Okay, yeah. Well, you two.
Blake, you want to go first? As a
go get them, guys.
Making it the JB list. I hand it over to Blake.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I was going to go Raptors direction. I don't have a ton from that game last night. They win. They head into the All-Star break on some better vibes. My submission to the JB list would be, unfortunately, a visual thing, not an audio thing. Gary Trent Sr.
Well,
being at that game in, like, basically a full-grown man version of the IKEA monkey coat. JD, I know you're very fond of the IKEA monkey.
Love him.
He has been at most Raptors home games with nobody in the crowd wearing like he has this enormous diamond bracelet that says GT on it. And for him to sit there, first of all, he must have been so sweaty. Gary Trent Sr. has just like all the swag in the world because like he named all his sons some version of Gary. It's
wait, what
really,
are the other ones' names?
Garrison.
Garrison.
Yeah, there's he has a whole bunch. Let me find it. He has, yeah. So there's Gary, as in Gary Trent Jr.,
mm-hmm.
Grayson, Graydon, and Garrison.
I think Garrison is the worst name that I might have heard.
Maybe it's Garrison is how you say it, but it's spelled Garrison.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Anyway.
Were those all the kids there sitting courtside too?
I think
like all three of them
nephews.
Oh, okay. Anyway, it was like quite the scene last night.
Yeah, his brothers are like grown-ups, I think. So anyway, that I was not well prepared to go into the whole family tree. But
Blake, really, you really went A-list on this, eh? Like you really
not
prepared.
A-list. No. I thought this was where we got our time to shine and do our things. I thought I was going to get like
I'll
a good Raptors stat
tomorrow,
here.
Everyone.
Gary Trent Jr.'s dad wore a coat. Yes, he wore a coat.
I'm
he
not
looked
gonna
awesome.
Put a stat in the
okay,
A-list.
How much was the coat?
Okay.
Do we know that? Because that's a stat. No, yeah. Probably like 20 grand.
Yeah. Did the coat write a children's book, Blake? Because if it did, then it's the ultimate A-list.
No,
item.
The coat got cancer.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's A-list. Yeah. Like, and overcame it, though. So it's okay. Yeah, I actually thought it was a really good win for the Raptors. We did our wake and rake yesterday. I made the Raptors my pick. They came through. It was sort of what I expected, Minnesota to have tired legs. I was texting with Blake earlier. Minnesota had a million wide open threes, and they missed them. They just did not have the legs for it. But down the stretch, I thought the Raptors were gutty. I thought that they were tough, and it was a really nice win to go into the break. I was livid with myself for not remembering that Gary Trent Jr. is from Minnesota for gambling purposes.
Yes,
but I did give
too.
Out every single winner in the NBA last night. I gave out every single winner. I had people who parlayed who DM me on Instagram with their picks of, because sometimes I'm just throwing these things out there, but I said, hey, the Portland game, it's too many points. Bing bong, hit that one. Raptors game, said that was money line. Bing bong, had the San Antonio Spurs. Bing bong, the Chicago Bulls. Bing bong, like that. It was a very clean slate.
I think I went 8-2 and
hitting
one.
All these NBA picks. Yeah, clean sweep of NBA picks last night and knew the games to stay away from. You know, just a good little landmine avoider yesterday. So really good stuff from our wake and rake. A bunch of other hits. Again, subscribe to this podcast because we're just winners, 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 winners. My JB list item is just simply that Canada hockey was incredible yesterday with the women. It was embarrassing for the men. And I'm going to ask Nick Kiprios about it later. But I don't know if this falls on anyone. I got a lot of people in my mentions going, who cares about this team? Who cares about this team? Who cares about this team? Fine. I don't really understand
the
need to reply.
I would love to.
Well, that's the thing. I don't really understand the person who goes, well, I don't care. Okay, fine. Then stay out of it. I do. What
I saw
yesterday
was
embarrassing.
You know?
It's Team Canada. It's Team Canada at the Olympics. And there was a lot of discussion early on whether or not Canada needed to bring more young skill, and they didn't. And there were a lot of really good players that still got left off of Team Canada, and we kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt and said, oh, they've got a good blend of veteran players and a couple of young guys who they're going to bring along and blah, 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 blah. And they were horrific. The entire third period we got to watch after our show, Canada couldn't get a shot. They couldn't get a shot, okay? So to not be able to get a shot against Sweden is embarrassing for Team Canada. And so I don't care if they, oh, we had to throw this team together. Shane Doan was on here talking about what the process was for the team. How many guys were dying to play for Team Canada? And that team stunk. That was a really, really bad team. They were old. They were slow. They had no punch. They had no identity. There was nothing about them that was redeemable. And sorry, but there has to be some accountability for that because this is Canada hockey, okay? We don't just throw that away. That's not willy-nilly. I care about that, so I don't care if you don't.
Yeah, it's nice to say, hey, it's a blend of young and veteran players. I would like a blend of good players.
Do something.
Next time.
Do something.
And look, I don't want to be overly negative about a guy who's, by all accounts, a really good guy and was a great interview, but like you do see with some of those fringier guys in an event like that, maybe what's keeping them from making the next step. And in that case, Josh Ho saying, you know, I actually watched a little bit of the Marlies game last night, and my guy Joey Duzak, it's like, oh yeah, that's why you got to watch the AHL games to really understand what's going on. That's why they're not in the NHL just yet. So disappointing all around in that regard. Like I thought I thought some of the kids looked all right. It's nice that Matt Nyes, the Leafs prospect, had a good tournament for the U.S., but the men's tournament as a whole has just been a big fart noise for the duration of this.
That was awful. That was truly, truly awful. And, yeah, I just – it made me sick to watch, honestly. Like, it was just no identity, nothing. And I know those guys care, and good on them for heeding the call to go. But yeah, it was just that was a bad team, and I don't really understand what they were supposed to be upon watching it.